Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
I had an interesting experience just preparing for this morning. I was ready to go kind of deep into, you know, just the trajectory that we've been on, which has been such a fun ride since Easter and the change name and the ethos of what we are, just letting the Lord call that out for us and change our name, essentially. And it's really fascinating to me just what I experience in town when people ask, you know, oh, you changed the name. And kind of their next question is everything okay? Everything's great. It's the best way to change a name, this go around. And so anyway, that's been a fun and exhilarating ride that we've been on. And I want to just share that, you know, when I was digging in, just asking the Lord, like, what do you want for this Sunday? And he's like, well, what do you... It was essentially like, what do you think is at the ground level of your foundation? Like, where does your foundation touch the earth? And not the earth in particular, like not this, but figuratively speaking, like, let's get to some ground level stuff here. And so what started to emerge was simply the word love. And I want to talk about love today. And God help me. I do not want to slip into cliches. I don't want to go into Christianese. I want us to connect with the presence of God who is love. And I want our lives to be grounded on that and just be established on love. And so this has been my frontier. When I think in terms of frontiers, you guys remember last year after I came back from a big trip in Wyoming, I came back with this series of teachings on frontier. And every so often I have to ask myself, what is my frontier? Like, where am I at the edge of what I am comfortable with, what I know, what I feel like an expert in? Where am I at the edge of that? Because if I take another step further, I'm going to feel less in control, less capable, less, period. I'll feel diminished. That's why a lot of us stay away from frontiers. And yet, I find myself being challenged with a frontier, and it's specific to specific people, and it has everything to do with the question of, how do I love them well? Like, that is the frontier for me. It's not big mountaineering adventures. This actually feels more challenging in some ways. And what I want to talk about, I can speak to with a fair bit of confidence that if I were to go into this, some of us might feel diminished. We might feel like, well, I don't know if I really love that well, or whatever. I just want to, like, put that to rest. This is in no way like a message that is to make us feel any shame whatsoever. There might be some repentance that needs to happen, but that should never be accompanied with shame. We can definitely have broken hearts over the fact that maybe we haven't always loved well. Maybe we can experience heart, even pain, and moments of like reflection where we're coming to terms with the fact that it has cost me something to stay isolated or to stay hidden or to stay away. And it's also, the flip side is true, it's also cost me when other people didn't know how to love me well, right? So this is kind of like a landscape that could be fraught with booby traps and tripwires, where shame and all that kind of stuff could like blow up in your face. And I don't want any of that. Like, I want, like, super spy glasses so that I can see all the laser beams and all the tripwires, right? And I want you to have that too. I want you to step over that stuff because we're going somewhere that's actually an invitation into a more beautiful place than any one of us have ever experienced before. Can I just say that emphatically? I mean, it's true. To whatever degree you have felt like you've experienced love and expressed love, there's more. There's more. And so let me just take some time to slowly, patiently read through some passages of Scripture that are probably familiar to most of us. And yet, I'm not speaking them as a teacher. I'm not trying to reference something like of a textbook. I'm trying to echo the voice of love, speaking about love to you and to me. This is really good. So for those of you who are listening to the podcast, a dear friend just raised his hand, which I love, because this is a family and this is a living room. And basically what I hear you saying is it's dawned on you that the opposite of love is not hatred or hate, but the opposite of love is fear. And that's why we're so encouraged that perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love is the antidote for fear. And so for us to connect with love is really about connecting with solutions to very real problems, fear being one of them. There's a lot of people who wrestle with a tremendous amount of fear in their life. And for love to come in and be established in new profound ways for us helps us combat fear and helps us walk in a way that is not fearful and helps us make decisions that are not fear-based. Thank you for sharing that. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Do everything in love. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Jesus says, remain in my love. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. Let love be your highest goal and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Those are all passages of Scripture that convey the heart of love to us as an encouragement that your truest call, your truest purpose, and your truest self is going to be established in love. I do speak a lot about things like spiritual gifts, and I speak a lot about hearing God's voice. I do speak a lot about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. I speak a lot about those things. And that's just it. It's like, if we're not careful, we'll speak a lot about some really good and profound things. But this morning, I'm drawn to the part of our foundation, like I said, that actually touches the ground, like that we live on. And if our lives are built upon the rock, right? You remember this parable, like You can build your house on sand and you can build your house on the rock. And the person that builds their house on the rock, they hear the words and they put those words into action. So for us to be people whose lives are built on the solid ground of God, and for us to be established so that when storms hit, like actual real storms, not just tornadoes like we're having in America, or not just, you know, whatever, physical storms, but you know what I mean. So what is the ground that we stand on? What is this ground made of? And so Ephesians 3 is really going to speak to that, I think. It's a prayer, and this is Paul praying. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he would empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love. So the ground that we stand on, the ground that our lives are built on, the solid rock is God's love. And so that being the case, we can have power to understand with all God's people how wide and long and high and deep his love really is. And this is the prayer: may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to totally understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Everything that I talk about related to being empowered and to being you know, like a blessing and just functioning out of the grace gifts that God has you, it's all rooted and established in love. I believe this: everything spiritual is like truly spiritual from a God perspective, like a truly godly spiritual experience is going to be compelled by love. Everything spiritual is compelled by love. And we deceive ourselves if we think otherwise. I think there's a lot of us, you know, that are just feeling this challenge. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who has this frontier. But for me, this feels like the most important frontier right now, is how do I love people well? Like, and when I say that, please understand, I'm not talking about the general masses. Like, it's easy to love the general masses and to not judge them harshly because you're detached from them. I'm talking about loving the people who you really know. I mean, I love the spiritual gifts. I love prophecy. I believe that we're a prophetic community. I believe that we function in some really unique, beautiful things that God has given to us. But we have to remember 1 Corinthians 13:2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith enough to move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. There's absolutely nothing good that can come from my life spiritually unless it is rooted and established and compelled by love, period. And so the encouragement is to learn to love as if our lives depend on it. They do. We have to wake up. Like, what is going to be the smelling salts that wake us up to the reality that learning how to love, our lives depend on it? Now, as far as, you know, any tips or tricks about learning how to love more deeply, honestly, I only have two. And one of them doesn't really count. The second one, it's not even really like a trick. And the first one is this, and it's something that came to me a couple of years ago, and it emerged out of reading a book by Bob Mumford. I think that's his name, yeah. And he wrote a book called Agape Road. And I read that book on the airplane. This is several years ago. And there was something that really stuck with me about his book, Agape Road. Because, you know, agape is the Greek word for unconditional love. And then we have all these other words for love, but he breaks it down. He keeps it real simple for guys like me. Like, there's either agape love or there's eros love. Now, sometimes in the classics or the definitions of love, you might think eros love is only about eroticism or about a body-based relationship and that kind of stuff. But it's not really about that at all. Well, it is. It's about that. But it's really more about the heart motive. And what the heart motive is like agape and eros. Agape is free of hooks. Eros love has hooks in it. And so this is my one thought that I want to share with you. And that is that love either has a hook in it or it doesn't. And this is a filter you can apply to yourself when you're kind of asking the Holy Spirit, search me, Holy Spirit, is there anything about my love that has a hook in it? And what I mean by that, if your love has a hook in it, then if there's any hope for payoff, any hope for return, then your love has a hook in it, and the ones that you love are bleeding out. And I put love in quotes, like, you get it? I believe only sons and daughters in the Lord can love without hooks. And the reason why is because we're learning to receive what we truly need from the Father. So when our deepest core longings are met in our relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then the motives to retract something from someone else to try to fulfill some core longing deficit that I have is not going to be expressed in my love for another person. The core longing deficit. Core longings, let me just touch on this for a second. Obviously, it's that the need to experience love, and we can draw all the way back into like pre-verbal age where if this stuff isn't happening in people's lives leading up to about the age of 3, it usually sets us on a trajectory of trying to find the answer to that core longing deficit for the rest of our life until we meet Jesus and find the answer in God alone. And those core longings, oh, and by the way, I'm speaking about every human being on the planet, right? So love, security, purpose, significance, understanding, and belonging. Those five core longings, we can't have hooks in our love to hope that someone is going to fulfill those longings for us, those deficits, all right? So, again, your love either has a hook in it or it doesn't. And only sons in the Lord, daughters in the Lord, can love without hooks because they're learning to receive what they truly need from the Father. So that's the context of it. You get it? Now it's a little bit bigger than just, oh, I'm going to trust God to meet all my needs. I don't need anybody. It's not that at all. It's like, because I am fulfilled in my relationship with God and He is meeting me in some new profound ways where I am being healed and I'm being confident that everything that I need is being met in Him, now I have a capacity to love without hooks in it. So that's the first point. The second point is this. This is the encouragement. God is teaching you to love. All right. So 1 Thessalonians 4:9, Paul says this. He's writing this. He says, we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving one another, for God Himself has taught you to love one another. All right. So that's a profound statement. How is God teaching you to love? That's the big question right now. How is God teaching you to love? I want you to just go into your own story. Maybe the more appropriate question is, who is God using in your life to teach you to love? What's their name? What's the scenario? Is there pain involved? Is there a sense of risk? Maybe there's a lot at stake. I know all too well that it's one thing to love those who are loving towards you, right? But it's totally another thing when it seems like the one that you're being called to love is actually the cause of a lot of chaos and pain. And maybe they even seem to be getting in the way. And you may not be able to call them your enemy because often they're closer than your enemies. All right? So I'm kind of getting down to like, this is the ground we live on, right? This is the real stuff. This is hard. What is God teaching you about love right now? How is he teaching you to love? One thing that the Lord has consistently done over the years for me, more so recently in the last several years, is he's really helped me to do some groundwork first before I attempt to express love to another person. This is really the last bit of what I want to share, and then we'll go from here. But I want to say this, that there's three things that God has asked me to do for any person that I'm on a frontier with when it comes to me knowing how to love them well. Or, yeah, you get it. The first one is to pray for them. Again, I want to steer clear of any Christianese and any cliche. We're going to get more into this praying for them piece here in just a second. The second one is to bless them. And the third one is to forgive them. So pray for them, bless them, and forgive them. Guess what? You can do all of this without being in the same room with them initially. So this is all groundwork that you're doing so that your heart is becoming more prepared and more capable of loving that individual. You may never share the same piece of carpet with that person. Reconciliation is not a guarantee. Like, you may not become best buds, but you can pray for them, you can bless them, and you can forgive them, and you can provide a safe atmosphere so that if on their end, they're choosing to pray for you and bless you and to forgive you, then that shared safety is some groundwork for you to stand on the same piece of carpet and be reconciled to each other. I am never going to advocate for you to enter into an unsafe situation. I'm never going to advocate for you to enter into a place where you're going to be abused knowingly. You're like, yeah, that's going to happen for some of us who are followers of Jesus. There will be persecution and there will be hardship that comes. But I never want you to volunteer to a relationship that is actually highly controlling and abusive in any way, shape, or form, okay? So get that straight. So what I'm talking about is you preparing your heart to love deeply through prayer, blessing, and forgiveness. Whether it leads to reconciliation or not, at least you're giving it a chance. See what I'm saying? And so the first bit here, praying for those who pose a threat to what you hold dear. That's kind of what I phrased it. And trust me, I have people in my mind when I'm saying this stuff. Okay, so I'm not just touting anything from, you know, on high. I'm just right here on the ground with you guys. Matthew 5, Jesus' teachings help us in all three of these things, how to pray for, how to bless, and how to forgive. I'm not going to unpack these entirely, but let's just say this. Matthew 5, verse 43, it says, "You've heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I say to you, love your enemies." Now remember, we're talking about people that might actually be closer to you than your enemies. Enemies, those people. It's not us and those people, it's us. Like, who is it that God is using to teach you how to love? Pray for those who persecute you. In other words, pray for those who make your life hard right now, who are the source of some pain. In that way, you'll be acting as true children of the Father in heaven. Remember, only true children of the Father in heaven can love without hooks. That's the thing about prayer. There's no hope for any return. It's intercession. You're not calling them up to meet them so that you can have some kind of like way for them to respond back to you. That's manipulation. We're talking about stuff that you can do at the heart level to love someone without any hooks in it. And praying for them is one. So, if you love only those who love you, what reward is that? Even the corrupt tax collectors do that. Or if you're kind to only your friends, how's that any different than anyone else? Even the pagans do that. But you are to be perfected, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So, that word perfected is like shalom, which is wholeness. That word there is like you are to be fulfilled in the Father, and that's going to give you the capacity to bless those who might be hard to love. And Luke 6:28, bless those who curse you and pray for those who hurt you. And lastly, forgive. Forgiveness is not an exercise in denial at all. In fact, it's the opposite. I believe the degree that you're willing to enter into the pain of what someone else's behavior has cost you, to enter into that with Jesus, I believe it's to the degree that you're willing to enter into the pain and honestly come to terms with the fact that this has cost me something and this is what it has cost me. And for you to actually be able to say that in a place of prayer, it's like a lament to the Father saying, God, this is what this person has done. This is what I experienced. This is what it has cost me. It's to that degree that you'll experience the healing presence of Jesus to offer true forgiveness. It's not a cursory forgiveness, like I'm a Christian, I got to forgive everybody. Well, guess what? Unless you come to terms with what that behavior has cost you and you let Jesus enter into that space with you, honestly, like, it's a Band-Aid. So get into that place of saying, look, Father, this is what I really experienced and this is what I really feel. And forgiveness is then releasing that individual who has hurt you into the hands of God. Now, if you're upset with them, then you're going to use language like, I'm going to release them into the higher court for his justice to rain down fire upon their heads. No, it's not that. Okay, it might be that for you. That's a true lament. Okay, but it's probably going to be, you know, depending on where you're at in this, it could be like, Father, I release them into your love and to your care. I release them into your grace. And I'm no longer going to feel obligated to try to extract restitution from them for what they've cost me. I'm going to entrust that to you. And if there is any restitution on this side of heaven, it's going to come from you, not from them. That's forgiveness. All right. So we jumped into some deep waters here related to love. Loving well. This is my frontier as well. And I'm just asking the Father, God, would you give us the capacity to love more deeply and to love in ways that are here's where it gets for me. And then I'll finish with this. I have one particular family member who started a conversation with me. It's interesting to parent adult children. Oh my gosh. And my big question is, how do I love her well in this conversation? And it comes down to me entering into every conversation that I have with her, whether it's a phone call, a text, a face-to-face get-together, with a genuine desire for the Holy Spirit to lead me in that conversation. God is teaching you how to love. There are times when I'm in midstream and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to me and he's like, you know that thing that you want to say in about two sentences? You do not say that. Or the opposite. You know, you want to be quiet and sulk around and make this impression how hurt you are right now. I actually want you to go to that person and I want you to say this to them. God is teaching us how to love. That's good news. So with that, let's just position ourselves to receive his goodness and his love for us. Whatever position you want to take. There's so much to this topic, obviously. But again, I was just like, God, I don't want to go any further without looking at the ground that we stand on. What is the foundation of everything that we're building our lives on, our community on, our faith on? What is it? And our roots go into the soil of God's love. And so your word is very clear, God, that we love because you first loved us. You make intercession for us. You bless us. You forgive us. And you've created a safe place for us to choose to enter into relationship with you. And now, Father, if we're to love as you have loved us, then help us do the same thing for others. Help us pray for them. Help us bless them. Help us forgive them. And help us create a safe place so that if they choose to, they can enter into that space with us. And above all, God, would you bring the illumination of your Holy Spirit to light up our motives? And if there's any hooks in our love, I pray that they would glare at us in such an awful way that we just can't stand it anymore. And we want to get to the root of how it is, God, that we could get our needs fulfilled in you first and foremost. And from that place, we can offer love that has no hooks in it, and it's unconditional, and it's not the kind of love that is peppered with manipulation and unspoken expectations. We just want to love purely. And we are so grateful that at the core of what you've called us to as your children, it's love. And so, Holy Spirit, you're in us. You've taken up residence in our lives. And the primary fruit of your presence in our life is love. So I'm asking you, God, would you help us learn how to love? Teach us. And thank you that this invitation, this invitation is full of hope and it makes us shame resilient. And so thank you, God, for that. And in whatever situations we find ourselves in and whoever it is that we look at and say, this is how God is helping me learn how to love more. Lord, would you bring grace to every one of those stories right now? And as I was praying during worship, I believe it's true now, I'll echo it. I believe that God can make the outcome far greater than what it was before it started. Like if there's any lost hope in that story, I just want to pray right now for new hope to emerge into that story and for a fresh like realization that God has the capacity to make things better than they were before this all even started. So God, with that, we want to trust you and we thank you for your love. We receive it. I pray that this week you would just shower us with your love unending. And I pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.